Good morning, guys. My name is Judy Winbush. I am a psychotherapist, and today I'm going to be talking about mental health and the importance of mental health. So psychotherapists, we deal with the mind, the body, and the spirit, making sure that they are all in alignment with one another. So I'm going to begin by defining what mental health is. Mental health is defined as a person's condition with regard to their psychological and emotional well-being. And I'm going to begin with a scripture, which is in 1 Peter 5:7. Oh, I'm supposed to turn there. And it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And my point today is that therapy is not in any way a replacement for God. It's there to assist him. And I want to begin with a question. If your car needed a transmission or to have its engine rebuilt, who would you go to? Anybody? A mechanic? Okay. If you were having a baby, who would you call? If your vet, I'm sorry, I just gave you the answer, but if your dog was sick, you'd call a vet, right? Okay. I just wanted to be sure that we knew who we needed to call if we were in a certain situation. Okay? So the point is that there are specific places that we need to go to when we need a certain kind of help. Okay, if you could please turn to James 2:14. James 2:14. And we're going to read James 2:14. I don't think I want to read that far. I'll stop when I feel like I need to. And it's titled Faith in Deeds. And it says, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied by action is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. And my point here is that sometimes God places resources in our lives. So first I want to talk about why people tend not to seek mental health. So being a mental health provider, we already know why people don't come to us. First of all, being a mental health professional, we know that people say that we are crazier than the people we treat. People always say to me, you know, are you really crazy? Especially my kids, they always tell me, you know, that I have to be crazy because I hear a lot of stuff, which sometimes that may be true, but it does tend to be true in a lot of cases. However, some of the negative names have been placed upon people who have sought mental health. This is in the past, such as cray cray. That's fairly new. Disturbed, insane, loony, nuts, etc. And treatment facilities have had bad reputations in the past, such as poor treatment. They were once called idiot and lunacy villages. Patients were highly medicated, and they basically were treated as lab rats. So the poor reputations that people have been very well deserved. However, these are all of the past, very untrue now. So when we think of the true definition of mental health, such as the emotional, physical well-being, don't you think that we all need that physical and, emotional and psychological well-being? Yes. Excuse me. Because it's all challenge. Both of those things are challenged on a daily basis. Quite possibly daily. So how do you think that on a daily basis, your emotional and psychological well-being could be challenged on a daily basis? Because I'm trying to bring this on a level that you guys can relate. So on a emotional and psychological basis, do you think that that could be challenged on a daily basis? So how do you think that could be challenged on a daily basis? Emotional and psychological well-being. Chloe.
I think that we can create situations in our mind that aren't even happening yet.
Mm-hmm.
At the thought of what could
happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We like to be mind readers in a lot of situations.
Grief and loss.
Grief and loss, yeah. Barb?
I think social media.
Social media, perfect, yeah. You have no idea how many patients I have because of social media. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yeah, you guys read my notes. Okay, go ahead.
Just fears, thinking about our fears, you know, like she said, maybe having to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Okay, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, you guys completely have everything that I wrote in here. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and so all of that, I literally have it all in here, so I'm not even going to repeat it again. So these are some common challenges that can escape your attention and slip into the complacency department of your mind where mental health may need to move in. I'm overwhelmed. I can't keep up with what I'm seeing on social media. I can't get over this guy. It's my fault that my kids haven't done what I expected. I'm starting to question my purpose in life. I know God loves me, but I don't love myself. I think I'm bipolar because I'm so moody. I'm so frustrated. Are things going to get better for me? 1 Chronicles 28:9-10 says, "Be strong and do the work." Yes, things will get better. But you do have to do the work. And yes, things will get better. Psalm 46:10, we all know it, says, "Be still and know that I am God." It's easy for some people to tell you a lot of things. But a lot of us have delicate situations, subjects that are very personal, embarrassing. And if you overtalk a situation and you're constantly talking about it, you may not want to talk about it to someone anymore because you're like, I keep talking about this and it's just not getting better. It's not changing. And sometimes people are like, okay, how many times are they going to bring this up to me? Enough is enough. And sometimes the only thing you can say to some people is just pray about it. And sometimes when you hear that so many times, you're like, okay, I'm praying and it's just not changing. It's not getting better. At that point, you may need to move into the mental health department. And that's okay. It's okay. It's okay if you need to be medicated. It's okay if you need to have a stay in a mental health facility, because sometimes you just need that. Some people need different things. It's easy for someone to tell you, just pray about it, if they have not had your situation. Everybody can't deal with the same things you deal with. It's not because they don't care. It's because they don't have the capacity to deal with it the way you can. I'm telling you, I've had some stuff, some crap in my life that I have never thought I would have to deal with. And I've had some great, awesome, incredible sisters. They stepped up to the plate, and I don't know where in the name of God they got the strength from. I've been completely humiliated, completely just dragged through the mud, and they didn't have my situation. I don't wish it on my worst enemy. But they stepped up to the plate. They couldn't identify with what I was going through, but they were there, and they were just there. They did not go through what I went through, and so I sought out mental health help. I sought out a counselor. The counselor didn't go through what I went through, but it was an ear. It was compassion. It was sympathy. And God help me if I didn't seek it out. God help me. I have no idea where I would have ended up. So my point is that everyone is not going to understand your situation. Everyone is not going to understand. And you don't want to constantly talk to someone constantly and put your heaviness onto someone all the time, because you don't want your heaviness to be their heaviness. Sometimes you need to give it to someone else. I'm not saying God isn't enough, because God is always enough, but sometimes you just may need some extra help. Self-care. Controlling your emotions, and the definition for self-care is controlling your emotions and being present, taking the time to enjoy the simple pleasures and giving yourself what you need. Women have the tendency to overwhelm themselves. I know someone said it in here. I can't remember, but a lot of women overwhelm themselves to where, because we can do it better. We know a faster, quicker way to do it. Let me just do it real quick and let me get it done. You know, God, I can do it faster. You're doing it wrong. Let me do it. And why I got to do everything around this house, you know, it's that. And then we complain.
Come on, Judy.
But, you know, self-care is enjoying the simple pleasures. And we're not really enjoying things when we do stuff like that. Yeah, we're taking care of things, but are we enjoying it? So I'm going to move to the first book of Corinthians, chapter 6. Verse 19 through 20. Says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We've got to take care of ourselves. We cannot overwhelm ourselves like this and just forget about ourselves and constantly be depressed or anxious or overwhelmed. Still in the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple. I mentioned that therapists are working to keep mind, body, and spirit in alignment. I get several female clients, and also adolescents with physical ailments. After working with them for a certain length of time, I realized that these physical ailments are because of depression and anxiety, stress and grief. Your healing is your responsibility. It's your responsibility. And as I said, I had gone through something, and I'm still recovering from it, actually. Very, very tough. And it is absolutely amazing. I would have never believed it, that something really hard can take such a toll on your body. I had thrown away my bed because I thought that it was, I was like, oh my gosh, this bed is not even all that old and my bed is like broken. No, it is stress. Bed was expensive too. I mean, it's amazing. It really does take a major physical toll on your body. Finally, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. When you start questioning if you are crazy, your kids can do that to you, by the way. Seriously, they can. Or if you just really need to take a break and say, I mean, if you ever get sick, I was very sick at one point. If you get sick and, or if you get overwhelmed to a degree where you're like, I just need to calm down. I just need, if you get like that several times, like I need a moment. There's no need for that. There's no need to continuously get like that. There's no need to continuously question yourself. Your children will make you feel overwhelmed. Illness can make you feel overwhelmed. Grief will make you feel overwhelmed. As a mental health professional, we are here. We deal with that. We are trained to deal with that. We can deal with that. And we are here to help with that. Psalm 23:3 says, He restores my soul. And as Christians, He will restore your soul. What I have learned and what I'm learning is there is no shame in your situations. If you need additional resources, such as a mental health professional, a counselor, a medication, someone else, if you feel like you have to talk to someone, I would be more than happy to point you in the right direction. Don't be afraid to talk about it, but don't settle in, this is just how I am, this is just what it is, this is just my situation, oh well, that's just it. I can tell you through things I've seen, healings that I've been a part of, healings that I have witnessed, and certainly I'm not self-disclosing because my big book is thick, that I have seen God work miracles, and I have seen a lot. So if you need additional resources, I'm certainly here to give them to you. And now I'm here to also introduce one of my new best friends, who became my best friend because I was in a mental health crisis. I told her off, and she would not give up on me, Miss Elaine. And that's the truth.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Elaine Francis, and I'm going to talk about a different situation, but it's just as serious, and it's something that we all experience at some time. I'm going to speak this morning about grief in motion, the journey of grief in motion. If you've all heard about it, maybe you haven't, I'm going to talk a little bit about it and give you some information, because it's wonderful. It's hard, but it's wonderful. It helps. Judy had covered a lot of the scriptures that she had, just still can relate to this. And so some might wonder, well, what is the grief journey in motion? It is a support group for people. What? Sorry. How's that? Okay. Should I start again? This is my first time up here. So some may wonder, what is Grief in Motion? It's a support group where people can express their loss in different ways and be able to find help and support from others as they do so. I hear myself. How's that? Is that too loud? Okay. You know, my husband and I have done, we've done the group once with the Colliers, and then I'm doing it again. And each time we do it, we learn more and more about our own grief. We're not really teachers, we're just facilitators. Honestly, God teaches you how to go through this. Everybody's grief is different. Nobody has the same. We're all different anyway. We have different backgrounds, different situations, different losses. People in our lives that leave in different ways. And so some can be very complicated. Words not said. Sometimes there's anger. Guilt. I had guilt for a little bit. God helped me through that. Guilt for not being there when that person left. It was my mother. Let's see. Things that haven't been brought to the forefront. But then there's also grief that you just miss the person and you love them and you have good memories, but it's still difficult. It's still grief. It's still a loss. It's still, you're never ready for it. So this is what the support group does, is those, and not everybody's ready for this when someone passes away. It takes time because there's different stages that you go through of grief. So, you know, someone just passed away in your life. I don't think this is the time to come, but I think God will let you know when you're ready to come, because you have to give of yourself. You have to come and want to say, I want the help. And I want the right kind of help. I want to get through this. Sometimes people get stuck for years with this. My parents have passed away years ago, but it wasn't till I wrote a letter to my dad that I realized there was still more in there, you know. And I just cried and cried and wrote and wrote, I never read the letter again. It's in my journal. I might read it soon, maybe in the next class. I don't know. I'm sure. And I'm looking forward to doing one for my mom. But that's how I, even as my parents have been gone for a long time, still there were things that God helped me to sift through that cleansed me in ways that I just couldn't really see. So what I want to do is I want to help people to know that this is the book that we use for the class. And it is a great book. There's, I think, 9 or 10 chapters. I'm not sure. There's journaling in the back. Some people don't like to journal. But let me tell you, journaling is the best thing. Some people prefer to talk. Well, you can talk in the group. But you want to be in a group where it's private. It's confidence. That you, what you say is confidential. Who's in the group? It's confidential. It's your grief. But I found out that in the group, I found that the people there, they really wanted to talk. They really wanted to share what was going on. It didn't happen right away. It was a couple of weeks. But then it started rolling, and we just would sit there. And, you know, we shared a little bit about ourselves. It wasn't like we were just sitting there listening to all their hurt. But, you know, God wants us to get the help with this. And Jesus can learn. You can learn from Jesus how he dealt with grief. He was busy, but he dealt with grief when he went to see Lazarus. And the scripture I thought about last night in bed was Matthew 11:28, when Jesus says, come to me now. Maybe some people see it in a different way, but I think when he's saying that to grievers, come to me and I will give you rest. And then he says, you know, take my yoke and learn from me because I'm humble in heart. And he teaches us how to learn from him, how to get through grief. It's something that all of us are going to experience. It's something that God has given us. And so God wants to help us with it, and he wants us to get the right kind of help. So I want to encourage you that there's hope. If you're stuck somewhere, or you feel like you're stuck, or you just want to come just to have a healthy grieving, consider this. Pray about it. But like I said, I know people that if you come to talk about these deep emotions, you want to feel like it's confidential. You want to feel safe, that you can cry or say whatever you want to say, and no one's going to judge you or try and fix you. That's bad. Let's see here. I'm almost at the end. I didn't get much time. Oh, God is our Father, and He wants to encourage us. And the scripture that I had that I want to read is Lamentations 3, 22. One second. If someone is there, they can go ahead and read it. I would appreciate it. Can you, a little bit louder, please? His mercies never end. God is merciful all the time. And the other part that is not there is that they're new every morning. Isn't it nice? It's wonderful to wake up in the morning and know that you can look forward to another day, even though there could be struggles. And that's what it's like when you're starting to deal with the grief, is that grief takes a long time. This is not a quick fix. This is something that takes a long time. There's no time limit on it. You can't put a time limit on it. Either you go through it or you get stuck. You don't want to get stuck. God doesn't want you stuck. He wants to do great things with you. He wants to see you happy. But yet He gave this to us. And sometimes we get confused. Well, why do we have this? Then if He felt that way. I don't know, but there's something deep there that we need to understand, and the scriptures can help us and people to love up on us and not feel sorry for us. This is what the group provides, and all I can say is I was amazed. I wish I had something, a tool like this when my parents passed away, but God still took care of me. But however, it's here now. And so I just want to encourage you, if you have any questions, you can talk with Barb or myself. And we see if we can help you. And I really thank you guys for listening.
We're actually done. But I hope that this morning was helpful to you. And I just think that these are things that can definitely help all of us. All the things that the two sisters talked about, I have needed help in those areas. I have seen therapists before. You know, I've gotten counseling for my grief and my losses, and it's amazing. I think it just helps you figure out. Sometimes you have like an onion in your head and you just don't know how to peel it. And I think when you go for these things, when you go see a therapist, it just sort of helps you looking from here into here, because sometimes you're not objective when you're looking at things that you're going through, and you need somebody else to sort of help you, you know, just peel off those onions and remove those layers, then you can know exactly what you're looking at. And to be honest with you, then the Bible is more effective, because I think the more we heal psychologically and emotionally, God's word can find a fertile ground, you know, where it can grow. I think sometimes when we are going through all these stresses and trauma and fear and just all these struggles, daily struggles, then it's very hard to hear God's word. You know, it's really difficult. But I think, you know, God provides us with everything we need for life and godliness. And I think the things that the two sisters talked about this morning are some of those things that, you know, we can make use of as disciples. And I think really also just remove the stigma. You know, there is nothing wrong with a Christian going to see a therapist. There is absolutely nothing wrong. It's just, if you were sick, if you had a flu, you would go see a doctor. Why don't we make that wrong? Yeah? We go see the doctor now. Deep down, we trust that God is going to heal you. He heals and restores your body. But God also uses all these people. He's given them the wisdom. Without God, they would not be there. You know, and God gives them that wisdom that is available for us. So let's make use of it, sister, so we can be effective and healed women. Amen? Amen. So we are done, and, you know, we can go pick up our kids and come back for worship.